Welcome to the award-winning Texas Outdoor News. 60 minutes of news, interviews, hints, and insight into the great outdoors. Now your hosts, Harold Gunn and Bill Olson.
And a good morning to you. Okay, all together now. Oh, happy days are here again. I'm sorry about it. Anyway, this is Harold Gunn. Welcome to Texas Outdoor News. We are brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. And today we're going to be bringing you outdoor news from throughout the state as well as the nation, along with the best bets for fishing, hunting, and a whole lot more. And God bless the Second Amendment anyway.
Good morning, Texas. Yeah. It is a great day in the Lone Star State as well as in the United States. This is Bill Olson. And, yes, we are later in the program going to be speaking more about the results of the election
but
earlier
not
this
a lot,
week.
Because everybody's tired of it.
But what we are going to do,
happy points.
What
happy,
we are going to do is we're going to kind of put the icing on our past 4 weeks waltz across Texas.
Yes,
we have visited with all 8 Texas Parks and Wildlife District leaders, and good friend used to be district leader over in Jasper back early days when I started Texas Outdoors Journal. He is now the division director of the Wildlife Division. Clayton Wolf will be joining us, and. Had some conversations this week with Clayton about some of the challenges, perspectives. This is such a big state in the diversity.
Indeed.
You know, point out a few things that folks may not be aware of, things that are impending or in the future that we're going to be dealing with. So going to be an interesting visit with Clayton Wolf. Plus, we've got a lot of news. So y'all stick around and remember, you're listening to your reliable information source for the great outdoors. This is Texas Outdoor News.
Andy.
Someone is stealing Texas wildlife, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department needs your help to stop it. Every time a poacher strikes, it is theft, pure and simple. Poaching also impairs your ability to enjoy your wildlife resources. Whether you hunt, fish, or just enjoy the wonders of Texas wildlife, now to many, there is nothing lower than a poacher, and we have a way to deal with it. It's called Operation Game Thief. Operation Game Thief was established in 1981 as a means for you to help Texas game wardens stop illegal hunting and fishing. A toll-free number is your link to Operation Game Thief. 1-800-792-GAME. That's 1-800-792-GAME. If a report results in apprehension and conviction, Operation Game Thief will pay rewards up to $1,000. Something else for you to know, Operation Game Thief is funded entirely by private donations. That means we need your tax-deductible financial support. To find out how to become a sponsoring member of Operation Game Thief or to report a hunting or fishing violation, call 1-800-792-GAME.
Hi, this is Harold Gunn, inviting you to join me and some friends for the Automotive Reporter. For over 13 years, the country's most informative auto show. An hour of news, interviews, product reviews, and motorsports. We'll be testing the newest cars and trucks, bringing you major guests from the automotive industry. Visit AutomotiveReporter.com for a list of our stations. Play the latest programs and more. While there, download the free Stitcher Smart Radio app and listen to us anywhere, anytime on your computer or smartphone. That's AutomotiveReporter.com.
Friends, you can now listen to Texas Outdoor News worldwide on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, PC, Mac, and more. On demand and on the go on your mobile phone with no syncing and no memory or storage waste. Downloading Stitcher is quick, easy, and free. Just go to TexasOutdoorNews.com and click on the Stitcher tab. In your app store, order Stitcher free, then listen anytime, anywhere on Stitcher.com.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn. We do appreciate you making us a part of your weekend plans.
Indeed.
And right off the bat, for all hunters, shooters, for Texans, Americans, big change.
Yes.
Positive change with the election of Donald J. Trump. No one thought it could happen except for him. And you know what? That son of a gun is... You got to be impressed. Okay. I mean, even if you didn't vote for him, you got to be going, wow.
Yep.
Dispelled all the pundits.
Yep.
The way things had been done, no ground game. He is a modern day president.
Well,
elect.
He did it his way. He did it on his own. Because I, you know,
having at least once been politically more involved, but, you know, being an old ad PR guy and stuff. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the time I met Clayton Williams, and I said, Clayton, my dad said if you ever run again, you need to hire somebody to tell you when to shut up. You know, and Clayton said, well, he's right. And initially that was me with Trump, you know, looking at what he was saying, the way he was saying it, so, you know, unapologetically and so on. And I thought, man, I don't know. You know, I would thought it would have alienated a lot more people. But then on the other hand, there's a lot of people said, I wish I could have said that. So... Look, and we're frustrated. America's been frustrated. We've been frustrated for, 8 years or better.
Here's what we're looking at. Earlier this week, Obama invited Trump. We're going through the process, of the president-elect coming in and the transition that takes place. But what's going to take place is this change that was demanded. Uh-huh. Is not going to be without bumps in the road.
Correct.
Sure. Some things are going to come out by the media, and if you listen to the MSNBCs, the CNNs, the ABCs, the network types, let me suggest you give Fox a chance. And there's Fox News, and I've actually moved back over to Fox Business News.
Okay.
Love Neil Cavuto. Mm-hmm. Love Lou Dobbs, okay, listen to what they have to say. But we're starting to hear reasons for Obama's shortcomings and the inability for Congress and the executive branch to work together. Mm-hmm. One of them is Obama, as the president, as the leader, never reached out, didn't ever have lunch. I mean, it was going to be his way or the highway.
Correct.
Okay? Now we bring things together. The first thing, and you mentioned it at the top of the show, is Second Amendment.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court nominations, that is huge.
That's why I told a lot of people, I said, it's not necessarily which candidate for president you're voting for. It's right. How you want the Supreme Court to wind up being for the next Lord knows how many decades.
And, you know, they can talk about the evangelicals coming out. Uh-huh. Hey, one nation under God.
Yeah.
We're putting that back into it. And for immigrants, those wanting to immigrate, those that may be here illegally. Uh-huh. This is a law and order president. Don't want to be cold-hearted. I don't think he's going to be cold-hearted. But you came here hoping for a better life. Mm-hmm. But if you came here illegally,
right.
You're taking a chance with your future as well as your family's future.
Well, you're also taking up space of those that want to come here legally.
Come here and embrace what we have.
Right.
That talk about other religious beliefs that are coming here, fine.
Yep.
Come and integrate, as Teddy Roosevelt said, into our society.
Right.
You know, come here because you want to be an American and bring your best, but don't try to convert us to something else, okay?
Right.
We can learn from others, certainly.
Well, we've been too divisive for too many years. Everybody has to have their title. You know, African-American, Anglo-American, Methodist American, I don't know.
I miss the Swedish American.
But that has made it worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, my little piece. Wait a minute. What happened to our?
Yeah. I've enjoyed visiting with people that I knew were not going to vote as I voted.
Mm-hmm.
And as we talked and just with respect and a dialogue, you know.
Right.
And you know, I've turned around and I've said, hey, you know, I appreciate this.
Sure.
And they looked at me and said, yeah, you know, we talked with
each
other.
A healthy discussion.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Correct.
Exactly. So anyway, goodness, more will come out of this.
Yeah.
Much, much excitement.
And now it's really going to be interesting to see. And I mean, being, you know, in the media all my life, it's going to be interesting to see now how the media handles this transition, handles the presidency, how they're going to report now. Who's going to invite Trump to be on the show? Do you think they'll ever let him back on Saturday Night Live? it's going to be interesting. We need to watch him.
He will say, I am president, and that's above Saturday Night
right.
Live.
Well,
you know?
Could you
see Reagan being on Saturday Night Live?
Oh, boy.
No.
Yeah. But you know, obviously he needs to now work very hard to pull everything together. Now we got the House and the Senate and the executive chair, but they need to work together.
First time since 1928 that the Republicans have had that.
Ah.
I didn't realize it was that long.
I didn't either.
You know, had one or the other chambers, you know, but not.
Well, then that really shows how good Reagan was.
and Newt Gingrich. And seeing the cabinet, the way that lays out, because as a businessman, and this is something people didn't understand as a real estate developer, is he didn't go out and do it, but he knew how it was to be done. When I was with my dad, he said, you may not have to be able to be the best to actually do that craft, but know when it's being done right or wrong. And he's going to surround himself with people that will help him move through the bureaucratic process.
And maybe now there'd be a slot for Mitt.
No.
No? Oh, okay.
No. No.
Businessman?
No. No. absolutely not. Anyway, we do have some outdoor news. We better get to that.
Oh, yeah, I think we should. That's the name of the show. But anyway. But now we got to watch them, and that's the point still. They got to be responsible to us, friends, so get off your keister, and you got something that's on your mind. Get a hold of your representative because you have one.
Yeah, there's going to be an election coming up in 2 years for congressional and Senate seats again.
Right.
And you're absolutely right, Harold. There's no free pass. We're going to watch Trump to fulfill promises made. Uh-huh. We're going to look at congressional leaders.
Right.
Paul Ryan has already redeemed himself to some extent, okay, of going, there's a lot of people that are going, wow, okay?
Sure.
And we hold their feet to the fire. Here in the Lone Star State, waterfowl season is underway. For those listeners over in Louisiana, you all are underway this weekend. Different flyways, central in Texas, Mississippi, in Louisiana, and we've got a little cool weather that's starting to filter in to make things fly south, which is really pretty exciting as we move through the process. Texas Parks and Wildlife has the commission recognition by Executive Director Carter Smith has awarded some various awards, if you will, recognition. Ducks Unlimited was presented the Order of Conservation. They presented to the Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission, actually, for a long time waterfowl and wetlands conservation. And that's pretty nice to recognize the work that's been done.
Right.
18 additional participants graduate from the Game Warden Citizens Academy. You know, when I look at our game wardens and look at the number that apply, and how few are selected, it is truly the best of the best.
Oh, indeed it is.
And the training that goes through and what all those men
and women do. Well, it's so broad-based, too. Their training, I mean, they do stuff that normal law enforcement people don't do.
Yeah, absolutely. So neat stuff going on there as well. And folks, make sure that you are legal with stamps, proper ammunition, because game wardens are out. In weeks to come, we'll be giving some updates on people that just flat out broke the law.
Yep.
As well as some of those oops, along the way.
Yes.
It's a great day.
also, you know, a special thanks, the birthday of the Marine Corps, and of course, Veterans Day.
Yes, most definitely. Yep. Yeah, just celebrated that on Friday. And this is when we celebrate and thank those that served.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Harold.
Thank you.
As well as opposed to Memorial Day, when we recognize those that have passed. We've lost in action. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to find out if Harold's been on or off the road, plus the outdoor report. It's headed your way.
America's best-selling truck 39 years running is Ford. These people work hard every day to build the best trucks. Trucks you need. Trucks with the best-in-class payload and towing. But you're not going to see them celebrate these 39 years with a lot of fireworks and party hats, because it's not about them. It's about you. It's about building the trucks you depend on to get the job done. That's how they built them yesterday. That's how they will build them today. And most importantly, that is how they will build them tomorrow. America's best-selling truck for 39 years. Ford's F-Series. Built Ford tough. The best in Texas.
I'm Larry Weissoon.
And I'm Blake Barnett.
Please join us at DSC Adventures Show and Expo, January 5th through 8th, 2017, at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center in Dallas.
You'll see over 1,900 exhibits of the world's finest outfitters and professional hunters, artists, taxidermists, and purveyors of quality hunting gear and firearms.
Enjoy world-class evening banquets, sporting auctions, and live entertainment. For more information, please go to www.dsc.org.
We'll see you there.
Love. At Shriners Hospitals for Children, love provides care to those in need. It fuels the desire to discover medical breakthroughs. Love motivates our compassionate staff, our renowned medical physicians, and volunteers who are all dedicated to caring for children. At Shriners Hospitals for Children, love comes to the rescue every day as we work to restore the joys of childhood. To offer your love and support to children in need, call 1-800-241-GIFT.
We're back with Texas Outdoor News. All right, Harold, you've been traveling, has it been on or off the road?
Off somewhat because it's very capable, but not it's not a four-wheel drive. But the 2016 Dodge Durango RT rear-wheel drive, great-looking vehicle. It's just really, really a nice-looking wagon. It's got a Hemi, as they said, the 5.7-liter Hemi V8, 360 horsepower. Which is very cool, but it's their 8-speed automatic transmission, so you got a little low-end punch and then ease on down the road and get better mileage because of that. It's got a cool rotary shifter in the console, which I actually love. Just, you know, twist a little knob. You don't have a stock hanging out to catch your sleeve or something. Selectable steering modes because it has electronic power steering. Park View rear backup, Park Sense rear park assist with stop. Analog four-wheel disc brakes. Sport suspension. Trailer sway damping, security alarm, rain-sensitive wipers. It's got a lot of nice stuff. Heated front and ventilated seats, heated second-row seats, heated steering wheel. Going to be good in the wintertime. Nice leather wheel. Driver-passenger four-way power lumbar assist on the seats. Air conditioning with three zones. Second-row 60-40 fold and tumble seat. This one had captain's chairs in the back, which are really cool. 8.4-inch touchscreen display with their Uconnect system. 20-inch, good-looking, low-gloss granite crystal wheels. Optional stuff, their technology group with advanced brake assist, full-speed forward collision warning, plus adaptive cruise, blind spot and cross-path detection, rear DVD entertainment center, Blu-ray compatible, rear seat video system, second-row fold and tumble captain's chairs, as I mentioned, and floor mats, because it's got a lot of RT-style stuff on it. Really a neat-looking vehicle. Base price is $41, loaded to the gills $49. With that 8-speed transmission, you're going to stomp it in town, so you're going to get 14 miles a gallon, but on the highway, 22 and better. And a lot of 5-star ratings on it. It's a good-looking vehicle, too. If you like a wagon like I do, check it out, the 2016 Dodge Durango RT rear-wheel drive.
It is time for the Outdoor Report, and we head down to Del Rio Way, Amistad Reservoir. Big Friendly's got some good black bass fishing on topwater, cincos, crankbaits, and rattle traps. In South Texas, our power plant lakes. Well, best option remains Coletta Creek, where bass fishing has been good on crankbaits and spinnerbaits in 8 to 10 feet of water. Choke Canyon Reservoir, black bass fishing has been good on chartreuse, soft plastics, and lizards over grass in 8 to 15 feet of water. Something you don't think about much on Choke Canyon, but good crappie fishing on minnows and white tubes. Then to the Panhandle area, West Texas, Lake Allen Henry around Post, Texas. Black bass are good on black buzzbaits at first and last light, but it's lots of small bass, baby bass, wacky worms, chartreuse tips fished around grass. And blue flick 7-inch and 10-inch power worms have produced in 25 to 35-foot drop-offs.
Okay, let's head over to East Texas. Caddo, black bass are good on Texas rig craws, buzzbaits, and hollow-body frogs. Lake Fork, black bass are fair on football jigs, weightless flukes near submerged grass, and flutter spoons. White and yellow bass are fair on minnows. Crappie are good on minnows also. Lake of the Pines, black bass are good on weightless flukes, hollow-body frogs, and Texas rig worms. White bass are good on slabs, crappie are good on minnows and jigs, Livingston. Black bass are good on perch-colored rattle traps, crankbaits, and soft plastics. Crappie are good on minnows and white tube jigs. Blue cats are good on shad and stinkbait. Monticello, black bass are good on Texas rig creature baits, hollow-body frogs, and bladed jigs. Crappie are good on minnows and chartreuse jigs. Sam Rayburn, black bass are good on chartreuse topwaters, soft plastic worms, and crankbaits early. Crappie are good on live minnows. Toledo Bend. Brim are good on night crawlers. Channel and blue cats are good on shrimp and stinky bait. Bass Drop.
Black bass are good on watermelon soft plastic worms and crankbaits. Belton, black bass are good on spinnerbaits and soft plastic worms. Crappie are very good on minnows in 20 feet of water. Palestine, hybrid stripers are good on slabs. White bass are good on slabs also. Richland Chambers, black bass are good on swim jigs, spinnerbaits, and Texas rig worms. White bass are good on slabs. Somerville, crappie are good on minnows and white tube jigs. Tewakanee, black bass are good on Texas rig craws, flipped in shallow cover and docks. Some fish are being caught on hollow body frogs as well. White bass are good on slabs. Hybrid bass are good on slabs again. Texoma, black bass are good on topwaters, medium crankbaits, and hard jerkbaits. Crappie are good on minnows. Striped bass are good on slabs. Whitney, black bass are good on chartreuse spinnerbaits, crankbaits, and rattle traps. White bass are good on silver slabs, pet spoons, and hellbenders. Crappie are good on minnows and blue tube jigs. In the Hill Country, Big Lake Buchanan, black bass are good on watermelon spinnerbaits, rattle traps, and crankbaits in 10 to 20 feet of water. Striped bass are good on redfin, Zara spooks, and plastic swim baits near Lighthouse Point at daylight. LBJ, black bass are good on white spinnerbaits, swim baits, and watermelon wacky sticks off creek points early. Striped bass are good on little fishies at night. White bass are good on little fishies at night also.
On the coast, the change that we have been looking for several weeks now has started to occur. As north winds blow, fronts with a little more punch to them,
I should say,
you know, are moving through. Water temperatures, though, have already started to slip. Mid-coast area was looking, and prior to the front, it was just in the lower 70s. And with these cooler temperatures, look for that to slip on down. Bird activity on the upper coast, Lake Calcasieu, Sabine, Trinity, West Galveston Bay, all the way down to West Matagorda. Some good fish have been caught on East Matagorda. Unfair Lures Rip and Slash has done well. Back Lake areas behind Matagorda and St. Joe Island, all the way down behind Mustang Island, around East Flats and Shamrock Cove. Good redfish activity as well as trout being picked up. Good fishing around the sandy potholes. Warmest part of the coast remains from Port Mansfield all the way down to Port Isabel. And as the chill continues, water temperatures drop, look for that Brownsville Ship Channel to really become a hot pocket of a variety of fish to be caught.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Checking the Texas Outdoors Journal, Fishing and Hunting Times this weekend, as well as Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. They're all rated as good days. Thursday and Friday are our two best days of the week. Next weekend, both Saturday and Sunday slip to fair. This weekend and on Monday, look for game to be most active from mid-morning until early to mid-afternoon. Tuesday and Wednesday, this major feeding period of the day will occur from late morning until mid-afternoon. By Thursday and Friday, times will have continued to adjust each day, so look for this most active period to occur from early afternoon until late afternoon. Next weekend, game will be actively feeding from mid-afternoon until well into the evening hours. On Monday, November the 14th, there will be a full moon on the coast this weekend, as well as Monday through Friday. There will be a double tide schedule of two high and two low tides each day. Next weekend, there will be a single tide schedule of one high and one low daily.
You have your choice on the hunting scene of what you want to hunt and basically how you want to hunt.
Yeah.
Even though bow season, the designated bow season has closed.
You can still do it.
You can still do it.
That's right.
And waterfowl season, let's see, what did I see? There was something, in the north zone of duck season kicked in. Dusty Ducks kicks in on the 17th. That's in the north zone. We've got Sandhill Crane season, Zone B. Coming up, mule deer season in 14 counties in Southwest Panhandle opens on the 19th. And the general mule deer season in 40 Panhandle counties opens November 19th. And I tell you what, Thanksgiving's coming up later this month.
Yes, indeed.
The end of the month. Make plans then. If not then, certainly over the upcoming Christmas holidays, do something with the kids. With the family outdoors, because there's going to be some great opportunities.
Plus, any second now, I'm expecting delivery of my Greenbird smoked turkey all the way from Tyler, Texas. I love it. Also, let me fling this in, too, for you hunters out there, but practice first, of course. But deer hunting, to add a nice angle to that, and also some of the smaller game, don't forget black powder, because you can do that all through the season, too.
Sure.
Which is so much serious fun. And single-shot rifles. I mean, it's, you know, you just get down on them. But I think you shoot better when you know you only got one shot.
You focus and concentrate more. Absolutely. The other thing, Hunters for the Hungry programs.
Right.
lots of them. And if you're going, we don't really care for venison.
Okay.
You haven't had it prepared properly.
That's the first thing. Remember chicken fried. Right. Yeah, when in doubt.
Absolutely.
But you're right, and they take all kinds of stuff. I mean, they waterfowl and pigs and all that.
One of the first things you're going to hear from any wildlife manager is take the excess of mouths off. So, I mean, if you've got a management program and you need to take those excess doe off early so that you can, benefit the herd and then benefit those that are in need.
You betcha.
We're going to take a break when we come back. Texas Parks and Wildlife Division Director Clayton Wolf joins us.
When it comes to rifle scopes, you get the most for your money with the all-new Zeiss Terra. When it comes to buying Zeiss, you get the most for your money at Carter's Country. The Zeiss Terra is the first mid-price rifle scope built to live up to Zeiss standards. All Zeiss Terra scopes feature one-piece construction, hard anodized surfaces, fully multi-coated lenses, and finger-adjustable windage and elevation, plus glass-smooth magnification adjustment with no change in eye relief. Carter's Country carries a wide selection, including the always popular 3-9, the 3-9x50, and the reach-out-and-touch-something 4x12x50 with a big light-gathering 50mm objective. All Zeiss Terra scopes carry a lifetime transferable warranty for the absolute best optical value for your money. Look no further than Zeiss Terra and Carter's Country. With four great locations in the greater Houston area, Carter's Country, where your great outdoors begins.
Hunting seasons are upon us, and finding up-to-date information and tips are important to hunters. Texas Outdoors Journal is just that source of quality information. From proven salooner tables to experts that have etched their names in the record books, Texas Outdoors Journal is on target for hunters. The same is true about Texas Outdoors Journal fishing coverage. Whether you fish on the coast or one of our inland lakes, timely forecast information and tips from the pros set Texas Outdoors Journal apart from the rest. These are just a couple of reasons why Texas Outdoors Journal has been named one of the top outdoor publications in Texas. Prove it to yourself by picking up a copy of Texas Outdoors Journal at your local newsstand, or better yet, subscribe and save 60% off the cover price. To subscribe using a major credit card, call 1-800-222-4TOJ. That's 1-800-222-4865, or subscribe securely online at texasoutdoorsjournal.com.
Ah, welcome back to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn, and it is group participation time. Everybody gather around the radio and join us and say...
It's one of my favorite parts of the show, too. Hey, Port A!
That's Port Aransas on Mustang Island, surrounded by pristine bays, estuaries, and the deep blue waters of the Gulf of Mexico. Port A is truly the fishing capital of Texas. Come fish, golf, and play Texas Island style. And I tell you, we talk about fronts moving through the Lone Star State.
Yep.
That's going to be pushing more birds down. And remember, 80% of the redhead population, over 80%, winter, in Texas waters.
Oh, wow.
This is truly blast and cast time, okay?
I'm thinking of some kind of redheads.
No. The feathered ones, Harold.
Okay.
Harold, please.
Okay.
On warm days, there's redheads on the beachfront.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
Tell you what, great fishing inshore. Offshore is going to be heating up with blackfin tuna and yellowfin moving in close. Tell you what, before the snowbirds fly south from Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, other places, get down there and enjoy the island to yourself.
But also, in spite of me being silly, it's a great family place. It really is.
And you can get a lot of information from their website, portaransas.org, and for personalized help, give them a call at 1-800-45-COAST. And when you call, be sure and say,
Hey, Port A.
I love that.
Yes.
Our guest today, teasing him earlier, in about getting long in the tooth, and then he reminded me, Bill,
yes,
you've been talking to me that long, too, so that, you know, that aging factor.
Correct. And you're showing it, too.
Thank you. former, I met him first when he was district leader in East Texas over in Jasper.
Right.
And now he is head of the Wildlife Division, Clayton Wolf. Clayton, welcome back to Texas Outdoor News. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. It's a pleasure to be with both of you this morning.
Thank you, Clayton. Appreciate it.
Hey, you remember the old drill of our waltz across Texas when we talked to all the district leaders and got their updated forecast for the hunting season we're in. You, as the Wildlife Division Director, I know you're faced with a variety of challenges. Going to kind of go through a list, and starting with whitetails, something that we didn't really delve into with the district leaders, want to have your input, is on chronic wasting disease, and as hunters, our responsibilities, check stations in other areas of the state, around the state.
Very, very good question, Bill. You know, we detected CWD for the first time in 2015 in some breeding facilities in Texas, and we have yet to find it in free-ranging whitetail. But our management plan calls for early detection and containment, so that, you know, we look hard for it. Hopefully, we don't find it, but if we do find it, we are able to contain the disease, and hunters are an important part of that. And so we are sampling statewide. Our staff have been out there at check stations. You know, really the simplest thing that we can ask hunters to do is go to our webpage. And if you go to the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department webpage, on the right side under Hot Topics, you can find a CWD link. And when you go there, the second paragraph is really addressed at new regulations and things that hunters can do. And really what we're asking hunters to do in whitetail range in Texas is help us get samples. And so you'll see a map of check station locations. Our staff will be out there in other locations, you know, at locker plants and at taxidermists getting samples. And so we're trying to get at least 6,700 samples this year, and we're already about 30% of the way there. But that's the biggest thing hunters in whitetail range can do for us is go to our check stations and let us take a CWD sample so that we can further build confidence in much of the state that we do not have CWD out there on most of the landscape.
Yeah, Clayton, that's Harold. So that's a sampling of what we hope are all healthy deer, obviously. But I, as a hunter, if I'm out there, is there anything, that any telltale hints or something, if I'm looking at a deer, that it might have it?
So there are some clinical symptoms, and you know they're not necessarily just specific to CWD, but it's, you know, it's called chronic wasting disease. So in the latter stages, the animal will start wasting away. It's neurological, and so you may see the animal standing kind of with a stretched stance, a sawhorse type stance, slobbering, salivating, walking in circles in very poor condition. And one thing we try to emphasize is there are other diseases where animals are in poor condition, so it's not just the poor condition, but that is one of the symptoms. But their central nervous system begins to break down later on, and so they start to lose a lot of their motor skills, and could be trembling, having that kind of sawhorse stance. And that would be concern. And if someone saw a deer like that, you know, the best thing to do is to contact us immediately, either local game warden or their wildlife biologist, and we would try to get a sample from that deer if possible. And, of course, we always advise everyone, if a hunter happens to shoot a deer that appears to be diseased, you know, we never recommend eating any deer that appears to be diseased. But at the same time, our biologists would love to get a sample off those animals, full well knowing that there are a lot of other diseases out there that where a deer could exhibit those same symptoms.
Sure. Two quick things before we run out of time in this first segment, before we go to break. You talk about on the website, and folks, you need to scroll down a little bit. That Hot Topics is down just a bit from the top on the right-hand side. Is that information also on the mobile app that Parks and Wildlife now has, Outdoor Annual?
You know, that's a good question, Bill. Maybe, I don't know if we get into the second segment, if I could look. I've got the app on my phone here.
Okay.
But, and we do have the regulations. So the mobile app, I believe, will have a specific CWD regulations.
Okay.
Or point you to this webpage. And some
good.
Of this stuff is new, mm-hmm. So my guess is it's going to point you back to this webpage.
Gotcha. Population trends. We know the 2011 drought. We know that taking the excess mouths off of the rangeland, the available forage, even with good times like we've had, any challenges that you're seeing across the eight districts where population has the potential of hunters going, ooh, you know, we didn't have a good fawn recruitment in 2011, so we're going to let it build back up in some of these others, challenges for population control?
Yeah, Bill, Bill, I think that's really a perennial issue in really most of the whitetail deer range. I'd say most of it. You know, hunters tend to be conservative, want to protect the resource, make sure they don't over harvest. And I would say in many, many cases, that means that that they under harvest and they don't get that population, you know, ready for the next drought.
Right.
You know, people like to see a lot of deer. And so, the best thing to do is obviously if you're in a deer management program is get with our wildlife biologist and follow their recommendations. And it is a perennial challenge to get hunters to harvest enough doe deer. You know, in this year in northeast Texas, we've opened up a lot more either sex days up there in muzzleloader seasons because the deer herd is expanding. And so I would, although it's not safe to generalize, I would say that there are more opportunities to shoot does. We encourage folks to shoot does. But if you really want to do it right for your specific tract of land, you need to get with a wildlife biologist and get a localized custom harvest plan for that area.
Okay, got another question for you, but we're up against the mid-portion program. So, folks, you all stick around as we'll continue talking about whitetails and wildlife in Texas with Division Director Clayton Wolf right after this.
You're listening to the state's most honored outdoor radio show, Texas Outdoor News.
Texas continues to grow. She never stops. Thanks to the financial support of Capital Farm Credit, neither do the agricultural producers and rural businesses that call her home. But the job is far from over. To keep pace, rural communities will need to grow too. Today and tomorrow, we'll be there, just as we have for 100 years. Learn more at CapitalFarmCredit.com.
Hi, I'm Larry Wysoon, life member of the Dallas Safari Club. Please join us January 5th through 8th, 2017 at the Dallas Convention Center for DSC's annual Greatest Hunter Convention on the Planet, where you'll see over 1,800 exhibits of the finest guides, outfitters, wildlife artists, gun makers, and purveyor of quality gear and merchandise for the serious outdoorsman, all in one place. There will be exciting seminars by the best in the business and evening banquets with fantastic auctions. Don't miss it. Join us January 5th through 8th at the Dallas Convention Center. Go to biggame.org.
Ah, friends, hunting seasons, oh yeah. Get on over to Carter's Country because you need ammunition. So whether it's for your pistol, your rifle, or your shotgun, they've got everything you need from Federal. And right now for the shotgunners, the Federal Speed Shock steel shells, 12-gauge, only $12.97 a box. But they always have specials on just about everything. And, of course, the really economical stuff is the estate line of shotgun shells. So while you're at it, you might as well get another shotgun. They have a deal right now, save $90. A Stoger 3000 pump shotgun, it'll hold those 3-inch mag shells. It's 12-gauge, only $199.97. Also, remember, you can order a lot of stuff, not firearms, but you can order a lot of accessories and ammunition from their website, carterscountry.com, and they will ship it to you, okay? Carter's Country, 4 locations in the greater Houston area, straight shooting since 1961.
We continue our conversation with Texas Parks and Wildlife Department's Wildlife Division Director, Clayton Wolf. Clayton, before we leave wildlife and move on to other critters, we're talking about management strategies. And we've got exotics, free-ranging exotics that, like axis deer, that will out-hustle. We have predators where they kind of follow coyotes, bobcats, even
pigs.
Big cats,
yeah, the
pigs.
Yeah.
Well, and invasive types. Year-round hunting opportunities, but their impact and what the department's doing on evaluating or tracking that information so hunters are better informed.
It's a good question, Bill. You know, that we have a lot of critters, as you say, out there on the deer range, and you know, a lot of those exotic species like axis deer, fallow deer, elk. Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, you know, doesn't have any official regulatory authority over them, except you do need a hunting license to hunt them. But when we're working with private landowners, we do give recommendations because whether it's a cow, a sheep, a goat, a deer. Those are animals that are eating plants on the landscape, and really that's what we're trying to control and make sure we have a healthy plant community, because a healthy plant community is a healthy deer population, it's a healthy wildlife population. So we can't ignore all those other mouths out there, and so just like with a deer management program where we ask folks, get with your biologists, do your surveys, figure out, you know, what the appropriate population level is and harvest down to that level. We don't want to ignore exotic animals, and we also don't ignore livestock because all of them are impacting that. So it means stocking rate, stock at this level, harvest down to this level, and when we're talking about harvesting down a specific level, we're talking also about those competing ungulates, those other animals out there that are eating on the range. And so it is more hunting opportunity. It is year-round hunting opportunity, and we encourage landowners and hunters to take advantage of that, to take advantage of that year-round hunting opportunity and manage those animals down to a healthy level so that the plant community is not negatively impacted. And then all wildlife species are going to benefit from that.
Yeah, Clayton, as we look at the annual directory and it tells us what we can harvest in certain counties and so on, I'm sure that's somewhat of an involved process. But just out of curiosity, you know, when it says, you know, two doe, one buck, one buck, no doe, et cetera, et cetera. What's briefly the process to come up with those numbers?
Well, you know, those are landscape level numbers, and it's ultimately up to the landowner's control. But we monitor our statewide deer population. We have over 30 deer management units in Texas, and our staff every summer and in early fall go out there, and they do spotlight surveys to monitor that population. So we monitor that trend. And right now, they're also at these check stations getting harvest data to look at the age structure of deer. And so it's looking at the landscape level scale. Basically, if we have high hunter densities like in some eastern parts of the state, we're going to have a more conservative bag limit. You get into other places where hunter density is not as high and you see older age structure in the bucks, we may have a more liberal bag limit. But ultimately, that access, on private land is still granted by the landowner. So we always encourage the landowners to still get with us and look at the site-specific recommendation, because those are kind of your outside bounds, if you will, for bag limits on the landscape. And when you get down to a track level, the reality is some tracks can sustain more harvest, and some of them you need to back off a little bit.
You know, one thing that many people have a misperception, is that Parks and Wildlife is reactionary as opposed to forward thinking.
Right.
And where I'm going with this as we set this conversation or this interview up is there was a release that we used here on Texas Outdoor News for the past couple of weeks cautioning people in northeast Texas about the presence of black bear coming in. And they're coming in from Oklahoma and Arkansas. And explain to people what you told me this week about y'all's planning for the future as critters from other parts of the country invade our reestablished populations here in Texas.
Right, Bill. So we've got, populations wax and wane, and black bears have basically been, extirpated from much of Texas. They used to be much more common. And our plan for East Texas and West Texas as well is really to prepare folks for the natural recolonization of these animals. You know, Louisiana has had a pretty aggressive program and a successful program to the extent that the Louisiana black bear was actually just delisted and taken off the threatened species list. And of course, they've been harvesting bears in Oklahoma and Arkansas for some time, and so those populations are growing. And we full well expect that we're going to see spillover into East Texas and also out in the Del Rio area and in parts of Southwest Texas. We'll see spillover from Mexico, and so we full well anticipate the natural recolonization. And so what we're doing is we do habitat assessments to see where we believe those animals are going to go. But we're also trying to prep deer hunters because corn feeders are a part of our hunting culture in Texas. Bear love those corn feeders. And so we're also preparing and getting ready for folks, number one, to be able to tell them how they deal with bears that find their deer feeders. And we also want to warn folks, be careful not to confuse a black bear with a black feral hog, because we want you to shoot all the feral hogs you can come across, but those black bears are protected and they cannot be taken. And so we want folks to be able to discern between the two.
All right. Before we run out of time, last critter we're going to have probably time to visit on today will be pronghorn antelope. Historically, I believe Trans-Pecos herd helped repopulate the panhandle herd Trans-Pecos region fell on hard times, populations decline. Now the Panhandle herd is helping populate the herd out in the Trans-Pecos. How is that coming? Is that something that's going to be ongoing for a few years?
It is. You know, we've actually, since 2011, we've been working with the Borderlands Research Institute to restock the Trans-Pecos, but also while we're restocking, putting radio collars on a good number of those animals so we can learn a lot more about their survival and production and the kinds of habitat they're utilizing. So we're anticipating to move some more animals. We usually move those in the winter months. And so we're anticipating that we may be trapping some more panhandle pronghorn and moving them to spots in the Trans-Pecos that need that boost in the arm.
Right.
The good news is with the rain we've had in the Trans-Pecos, those animals we have moved in previous years are doing well, and we're seeing high survival and high reproduction. And so Mother Nature's helping us with that rainfall, you know, in addition to us moving those animals down.
All right. We got about 30 seconds before we got to wrap this up. And wanted to give you a chance, just real quick, what are the top two or three challenges the Wildlife Division is facing? Can you hit two or three real quick?
Well, I think it's working with landowners to manage their habitat. Wildlife need habitat, and we like to focus a lot on hunting regulations, but those wildlife need a place to live. And so our challenge is working with traditional landowners, new landowners, to get them to manage their habitat. We have more landowners, and so we're having to use co-ops. And so that's going to be our perennial challenge. That's where we're going to have our biggest bang for the buck,
right,
is having private landowners manage properly. And so that's our challenge.
And with the private landowners and those that lease or have hunts, the hunters play their role, and it just kind of completes a circle. Clayton, we appreciate the update. Good visiting with you again. We'll have to do this as soon as possible again.
It was my pleasure, gentlemen.
Thank you, Clayton. Friends, we'll be back with more Texas Outdoor News right after this.
You get 12 people around a table, and you'll have 24 opinions. That's just the way folks are. We've each got our favorite parks, favorite bars, favorite barbecues, and we're not exactly shy when it comes to our opinions. However, this year, the Texas Auto Writers Association got together at the Texas Truck Rodeo and agreed on not one thing, but several things. The Jeep Grand Cherokee Summit 4x4 is the midsize luxury sport utility of Texas. The Cherokee Trailhawk is the compact SUV of Texas. The Renegade Trailhawk is the compact crossover utility vehicle of Texas. And the Wrangler Unlimited Rubicon Hard Rock is the off-road utility vehicle of Texas. It should be no surprise that all it would take was a few Jeep brand vehicles to impress a table full of Texas auto riders. See the most awarded SUV lineup in Texas at your local Jeep dealer. The Jeep brand lineup has received more awards over its lifetime than any other competitive SUV lineup. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Never fight if you can avoid it. But when you must fight, don't lose. And when nothing less than freedom is at stake, we fight. We're millions of people just like you. We're the longest standing civil rights organization in the U.S. Proud defenders of history's patriots. Protectors of the Second Amendment. Advocating the right to keep and bear arms. Advancing the shooting sports. Championing gun safety, education, and training. Creating a vital legacy by answering freedom's call. And we're growing stronger every day. We are the NRA, and the NRA is you. Join forces with the 5 million men and women of the NRA and make a stand for freedom today. Sign up now at joinnra.com.
It is time for the Outdoor Calendar on Texas Outdoor News. Harold, what's coming up?
Here we go. November 17th, Colorado County Chapter Ducks Unlimited fundraiser in Columbus. For info, 361-815-1150. Also the 17th, Weatherford Chapter of Ducks Unlimited. Their banquet in Weatherford. Information, 817-239-4482. November 18th, fishing with the ranger at Inks Lake State Park in Burnett. Just come and learn from those Parks and Wildlife guys. Okay, no reservations required. For info, 830
630-232-6132, extension 236. And Amarillo Chapter of the Mule Deer Foundation Banquet in Amarillo is on the 19th. 817-565-7121. Go to one of those great events in your brand new Ford truck.
Folks, here's a number of reasons why I'm so partial to Ford trucks. One is they're built Ford tough, and that means they're dependable. When I bought my new Ford truck, I also kept my old one that's still running great with over 385,000 miles. In fact, there are more Ford F-Series trucks on the road with over 250,000 miles than any other brand. It is no wonder Ford F-Series has been the number one selling truck in America for 39 years running and is the number one selling truck in Texas. You see, Ford F-Series trucks have the best-in-class towing and payload and are the strongest trucks on the road. Ford trucks have once again been voted the truck line of Texas by the Texas Auto Writers Association. Roomy, stylish, great attention to detail with a variety of power options are all reasons Ford F-Series continues to set the standard by which all others are compared. So do yourself a favor and stop by one of the 275 best-in-Texas Ford dealers and find out for yourself what built Ford tough really means.
I've been taking a new truck over to Carter's Country. Load up. Oh, the Ruger American Rifle in 270, 308, 30-06, only $359.97. That leaves you enough money left over to get the Zeiss Terra Scope, the 3-9x42, only $239.97 on sale. Or you really want a value, Bill's going to get three of these. Savage Arms AX-15 Combo bolt-action rifle with a bore-sided 3-9 scope on it. Comes in 243, 270, 30-06, or 308, only $269.97. And then, AR fans, the Armalite Eagle 15 in 223. These are folks that invented this thing in the first place. Only $559.97. Carter's Country, four locations in the greater Houston area, straight shooting since 1961.
Want to thank our guest today, Clayton Wolf, Wildlife Division Director for Texas Parks and Wildlife.
Indeed, good show. I tell you what, do check the website out, texasoutdoornews.com. You see a list of our wonderful affiliate stations. You can also download and play the shows with just a click of your mouse under Listen to Our Show. Pretty darn simple. Remember, hunting season's, so we want you to be safe out there. So you can join us again next week, same time, same station, for more Texas Outdoor News.